Fright Film Radio, this is Niccolo Comotti here at Torino 32, and today I'm joined by Evan Canahan, director of The Canal. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
So Evan, just I'll let you speak. Tell me what The Canal is about.
I don't know, that's a difficult question. basically, it's about a cinema archivist who moves into a house and he finds out there was a murder in the past. He then begins to suspect his wife is cheating on him. And then he also finds out that the man who killed his wife in the past also suspected his wife was cheating on him. There's a lot more to it than that. And basically, the film is from one person's point of view. So you're never quite sure what you're watching is real or imagined. And also, the film becomes more and more nightmarish as it comes along. Hopefully, it's a very disturbing, frightening film that stays with you long after you've seen it. That was the ambition.
It is indeed. I mean, I watched it and it definitely got disturbed. And also because, as you said, there's a lot more to it. I mean, of course, it's always difficult to kind of brief up a film in a minute, but I really enjoyed the sort of different takes that you had all throughout the development of the film. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually a real good family drama as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if I just discard the horror genre based scenes, that would be a really intense family drama, as well as being really playing with the ghost kind of films, mm-hmm. and at the same time playing with the nature of film, which I really loved.
Yeah.
The idea of, like, you know, at the end of the day, in a morbid way, film is death.
Yeah. That's true. I think the family drama part, the emotional heart, was very important. And previous to this, I had made two family dramas, and I learned a lot from that, to ground the film in some sort of reality. And from that reality, then you can become as surreal as you want. Mm-hmm. You can go into the horror, and the people have some sort of emotional grounding from that. I think with also making it about a cinema archivist, it allowed me to explore cinema and horror cinema. And for me, he was probably the type of character who had watched every horror film ever made. And therefore, his dreams and his nightmares and the possession, whatever is happening, would be very much coloured by the horror films that he's seen. It's a very knowing horror film in that way. And it's kind of my love letter to horror films. And especially to early cinema as well. And I love early cinema and early horror films like Nosferatu and Carol Dreyer's Vampyr, all those films with that beautiful celluloid quality. Mm-hmm. And that was something I was dying to recreate, those old films. And for this film, we used a camera from 1915 to recreate those films. And we ran 35mm through it, and it came out and it looked amazing. So it takes usually a long time to get a film off the ground. So for me, it's usually packed full of things I want to do, ambitions, and packed full of ideas, because you want to get it all out of your system, you know.
And I love also the approach to the kind of the real, and that was one of the first kind of shocking values of the use, the actual mechanism. But I also noticed in a way that the film, in theory, is almost like you can kind of draw it as a line that goes back and forth, you know, the canal, and also passing by, you know, the two, let's call it the two houses.
Yeah.
Did you actually, I just imagined you actually writing the screenplay and having also a sort of visual thing about the vectors, how to develop the actual plot. Am I completely wrong, or maybe you also put some visuals on it?
Well, it was actually, I grew up in an area not unlike that, and the film and where to set the film came from my childhood memories of that area. Mm-hmm. I grew up beside a canal, and I used to play along there when I was a child. And the way I remembered it was very decaying and run down and filthy and disgusting. And it attracted me and but frightened me at the same time. And it was kind of a beautiful being frightened, because it set my imagination free. I could imagine all sorts of things happening there. So when I was writing this, I kind of knew this area well. And I knew that the characters would have to pass by this canal to get from one part of the city to the other. Mm-hmm. Also as well, the terrible thing was when we went back to look for these canals where I grew up, they had been renovated completely.
Right.
So all the atmosphere had been stripped from them. And it took us such a long time to find a decaying, disgusting part again, you know. And we actually did it by following the canal with Google Earth.
Okay.
And I found this area that was industrial, and we went to it, and it was absolutely perfect. The same with the public toilet. It took us a long time to find out as well. It had to be as disgusting as possible. And if anyone sees the film, it's probably the most disgusting public toilet ever in a film.
Yes, it's really up there. We probably Danny Boyle's exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're getting there. And also, I wanted to ask you, as you said earlier, we kind of adopt a subjective sort of perspective all throughout the film, you know, by Rupert Evans, and fantastic performance as well, yeah. Because Rupert Evans is kind of known for having this sort of solid,
quite subdued characters he's played in the past.
And you really played with the very subtleties between his face and even the veins of it, you know, yeah. You just really get into that. What was the work with him, and especially with the interaction with the other actors? Everything, as you said, family drama is, I think, one of the strongest parts of it. They make the film actually really strong as horror as well.
I think that's true. Rupert was actually the last person we cast because it took me such a long time to find the right person. But the moment I met Rupert, I knew with him. I rang my producer straight away, and I said, "I found the person I want," because outwardly, he's a very handsome man, and he's played characters that have it always together. And this character seems to have it all together. He seems to have the perfect wife, he has the perfect house, perfect job. But Rupert had a beautiful vulnerability about him as well, that was essential for the character, that was frail, that could be that you'd feel sorry for him, that the audience would have sympathy with him, you know, and would always go with him no matter what happened. So I knew it had to be him. What I do is I create the characters. We create the characters together before the film begins. So I give them the character history, so they know absolutely everything about their characters before the film even begins. And then what I do is I have them interviewed by an actual interviewer in character. So I throw all these questions at them, so they know exactly the character inside out. By the time we begin the film, they are essentially the character, you know. So we just don't go straight into the film. We do a lot of prep before.
Right, right.
And also with the child as well, that took a long. We saw about 300 children for that. And I didn't want a child who had acted before. I wanted a child who would seem like a real child and not a movie child, that would maybe get words mixed up. And and also his relationship with Rupert was so important.
Yeah.
So I got them to spend a long time together before the film began. So we did a lot of prep before it began, but I'm so glad I picked Rupert. I think he was perfect for the part.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. He's probably one of the best cast I've seen also in the selection here.
Oh, good.
And just tell me, how much is on paper then? Because it seems that you really put everything on it, as well as the prep. I mean, how long did it take?
We prepped for about 2 or 3 weeks before.
Okay.
With all the actors, even the child. The child was actually amazing at improvisation, you know.
Right.
During the shoot, what I usually do is I give the actors a few takes on the script, and then I say, do what you want off the script. So they improvise around the script then as well. All my other films were completely improvised as well, so... But this one was the only film I've actually done from a total script. But there was room for improvisation, especially with Steve Oram, who plays the detective, who was just an absolutely spectacular improviser, because he's a stand-up comedian by profession, not an actor. And he was amazing. I just left him riff on stuff, and he always came out something amazing.
Oh, it's very interesting, actually, this improvisation side of it, because on the other hand, you have... The camera, it's very controlled. You have this sort of, you know, constant back and forth, like a William Friedkin style. You always had that kind of imagery into it. Yeah. You wanted also to pay homage to that, or you thought that that kind of controlled camera is also the best way to portray this kind of film?
Well, we planned the look of the film meticulously, me and the cinematographer Pierce McGrail, before. And my previous film called The Fading Light was very an arthouse film, and I use shots very similar to that, through doorways and keeping a distance. But you'll notice that there's a very definite plan as this film goes on. It begins quite distanced, shooting people from a distance and through doorways. But then as it goes along, there's more and more extreme close-ups. We get inside the characters' heads even more. Also, I wanted to use the zoom a lot, the slow zoom, which I love from 70s cinema, particularly... A visual reference for me and Pierce, the cinematographer, was Don't Look Now.
Okay,
and I love those slow push-ins, you know, those slow zooms. And also, the shooting schedule also dictated the way I had to shoot the film, because it was such a tight schedule. So you'll notice most scenes are just 2 or 3 shots. I don't think I would have been able to do it if I hadn't have edited all my previous films. I think I would have lost shots, or I wouldn't have had enough to make up the shots. sometimes there was just enough to hold it together, just about. But I kind of was editing as I went along. But I love that. I like films that are restrained and pick their shots very meticulously, you know. And they're my preferred type films.
And mine too, actually. Yeah. And thank you very much, Ivan. Okay. Thank you for being with us. And I hope this is going to be a good teaser for all the audience out there. And this is Fred Film Radio, The Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.